Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Bill Samuels, founder of Effective New York. And Bill is here to talk about the Shelley Silver case. So, Bill, first of all, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Cynthia, and as I hope you are too.
I'm doing fine. So were you surprised to see that Silver in the news again?
Well, I guess not, because once the decision was made on the Virginia indictment, together with the fact that the judge's instructions to the jury didn't take into account that decision that is trying to define what is corruption and what isn't, I don't think anyone was surprised. I think it was pretty predictable. And, you know, this is, we'll see what happens next.
So from your perspective as a lawyer, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I did go to law school, Cynthia, but I never even practiced a day in the summer, but I do deal with lawyers every day. I don't know. I think if you take a step back, the Silver conviction is symptomatic of a huge problem that can be defined as a total lack of leadership by Cuomo. He called for the Moreland Commission. It was the right call. But under pressure, as the Moreland Commission was looking into both Silver and Skelos, he absolutely closed down Moreland. That was just a terrible decision, a total lack of courage on the governor. So if you take a look at the underlying problem, it starts with a man who goes into a back room with three other men. He goes in with the head of the Democratic Assembly of the Republican State Senate. He then lets in the IDC. He does not let in a woman who runs the Democratic Party. And they make decisions, and the legislators don't vote. Then you come down to Silver, who ran the Assembly with an iron fist. You couldn't even get extra paper unless you went along with him. There were no hearings on bills. Things are passed by a message of necessity. And we don't pay we haven't given a pay raise to the legislators in years. And so when they're lawyers, like Silver is, you are opening up gray areas for corruption. Because who wants to give law work to a state senator who has a law firm? Well, they usually have an interest. And where is the line between corruption and letting a legislator, you know, be a lawyer? So what happens here is there's a lot of corruption, and Cuomo hasn't cleaned it up, and neither has the legislature. Yes, I hope that Silver is reconvicted, but it's really a minor issue compared to what we have to do to reach a point where we have the best legislature in the country and people enjoy and look forward to running for office and doing the people's work.
Have you ever met Shelley Silver?
The answer is yes, but no. I've been at one or two functions that I shook his hands. Let me tell you about the only substantive phone call I had, and it's quite funny. I am, at that time, trying to elect good people to the Assembly, and for years, and to the Senate. And a young man decided to run against Shelley Silver. In the primary, Paul Newell. This goes back quite a ways. And I got a call from David Patterson, who said, "You got to call Shelley." And I laughed. What do I got to call Shelley about? Don't even know the man. He says, Shelley thinks you are financing a primary against them. I said, David, you know I primarily focus on the state Senate, but I'll call him. I call Silver. He picks up the phone right away. He says, why are you financing a primary against me? I said, Shelley, why do you think I am? Well, it turns out I had supported a blog, and that blog was statewide, and it focused on Albany, and people wrote a lot of things on it. Well, the fact that I was financing the editor, you know, it's a blog. I said, Shelley, it's a blog. People write what they want. We don't edit them. He says, Bill, you financed it. You should shut this down. I said, Shelley, what? I won't. But that's not what a blog is. And if anything, you should have your staff go on it. He was adamant. I said, well, I'm sorry, Shelley. This is free speech. And I hung up on him. He had no idea what new media was. Totally out of touch. He was just another boss. And between he and Cuomo, and when I say Cuomo, what Andrew's doing is not new. It's gone on for decades up there. He just hasn't changed it. So, yes, I hope Shelley is reconvicted. I'm not a lawyer in the sense of being able to say that's 100%, but it's really the secondary issue. Cuomo hasn't changed Albany. It's that simple.
Now, the deciding factor in this latest development is the McDonald case in Virginia.
Right.
Can you describe how that happened?
Well, you know, it's clear if someone takes money as a legislator and then supports the cause that the person is giving them money for, okay? And in the McDonald case, it wasn't clear that McDonald did anything. In other words, let's say his wife was given some jewels by Cynthia Pooler. And Cynthia asked McDonald to call the LCA and give you more airtime. And McDonald did. Is that corruption to make the call? It's one thing to take the money and pass actual legislation. It's one thing to take money and lobby extremely hard to get a change made for that individual. It's another thing if your wife gets a gift and you write a letter or you make a call, you don't follow up, there's no high pressure. In other words, where is the line? And that line is so vague that it's very hard to say what is just normal procedure and versus what is unethical and someone should go to jail. And McDonald, so it's vague. And to some extent, it's good what the courts are doing because legislators need to know when they cross the line and when they don't.
Now, given the fact that the Creeper Harry is not around anymore, I don't see Albany changing all that much. What do you think?
Cynthia, we've both been at this a long time. When Cuomo ran in 2010, I was optimistic that he would change things. He hasn't. He's just the last governor from an old culture, and I don't think anything changes in Albany until either Andrew is beaten next year, hopefully in a Democratic primary, or becomes president. But as long as he is up there, nothing's going to change. He's been up there for decades now, 12 with his father, and behavior doesn't change. You know, it's that simple.
You mentioned two scenarios. What do you think the likelihood is? Cuomo being beat in a primary? And if so, who do you envision running against him?
Well, that's a good question. All the press assumes that there'll be no one running against him. They could be right. I think we need an investigative reporter who's experienced in Albany and is a woman. What do you think?
You mean me?
Yes. look, we need to find someone to take Cuomo on. He has been an okay governor. He's not a Trump and a disaster. He's done some good things, but he hasn't done enough. And he certainly is not someone that I envision as a president. And I think he's had 8 years in office. And hopefully somewhere someone will surface and have the nerve to run against him. On the Republican side, I have no idea who's going to get the nomination and don't have any opinion.
Mm-hmm. The likelihood of him running for president, do you think that the rest of the country would embrace Andrew Cuomo?
No.
Okay. So if he has aspirations for the presidency, do you think he'll be on a foolhardy mission?
Yes.
Oh,
if Andrew
boy.
Is reelected, and everyone assumes he will be, he should look at history and say, this is my chance to do what I have not done in the last 8 years. He ought to separate himself from the IDC, no longer let Andrea Cousin into the meeting, heading up the Democratic Party, not invite Klein in. He should publicly come out strongly for the People's Convention. He's trying to have it both ways. He says, Cynthia, I'm for the convention. But, of course, he's done nothing to promote it, no planning, and he's shown a total lack of courage, same way he had no courage when he shut down Moreland. So if he wins, he should forget about being president, and he should have a goal of doing all the things he hasn't done so that he goes down with a strong, strong legacy versus an average legacy, which is what he has now.
Hmm. Now, this past session has been pretty boring. Not much
yep.
going on. But this coming session, 2018, you know, the legislature is up for re-election. The governor is up for re-election. There's rumblings across the state to vote out the IDC. What do you envision for 2018? Do you think it's going to be an exciting year here in Albany?
Very, very exciting. I think that it's a combination that, given what's happening in Washington, we need to protect ourselves in Albany. We need to pass a constitutional amendment that protects us if Roe versus Wade is overturned. We need to take a serious look at that. Our Constitution gives us no right to clean air and fresh water. It gives no rights to women, no rights for sexual orientation, gender expression, or identity. There are so many things wrong that are in danger because of Washington. We need the governor and anyone that runs against him to really come out with major, major changes that protect this state from three more years of Donald Trump.
So how's things going with the Constitutional Convention initiative?
I think it's very interesting. The fact is that I am for the convention. A lot of my very good friends, including people in labor, are against it. I respect their views. It's going to be very, very close. But what I say to my friends in labor, let's disagree with respect because of the Constitution's past. We're going to have to work together to make improvements. If it isn't passed, we have to work together in Albany to protect ourselves against Washington. But I think that we should take the risk. I don't think it's major. But the fact is, I thought that when Hillary Clinton was running against Trump, Trump won. So we have to respect people who are fearful of the convention. I'm not.
So 3 years ago, you had thought about running for, I believe, lieutenant governor. Has anything changed? You think you'll throw your hat in for a
Look, you have to remember, I'm not a politician. The reason I suggested to Cuomo in 2010, and I was a Cuomo supporter, was that our Democratic Party was corrupt. We had Pedro Espada, Malcolm Smith, and Sampson. And I ran an independent expenditure to get rid of Espada. And the thought of Lieutenant Governor, who happens to be also president of the Senate, was so that we could clean up our own party. It's never been for elective office. It is to clean up the Senate. The Senate is now cleaned up. Michael Janaris is outstanding, as is Andrea. Liz Krueger and Janaris have come out for the People's Convention. We don't see the same level of corruption in our own party that was true when I was thinking about running. So I have no intention of running for lieutenant governor again.
Do you think the IDC will be defeated?
Don't know. Of the 8 seats, there's 4 that's vulnerable. I do think that Cuomo can do a lot here. He has to tell Jeff Klein he'll no longer be in the boss room anymore. He has to go out in 2018 and do what he's never done, is campaign against the IDC. If he doesn't, I think his presidential bid is dead. So he's got a big decision to make. He's got to put his name on the line. He's got to go into each of those 8 districts. He's got to support a slate of Democrats against the IDC unless the incumbent comes back to the party. If Andrew does that, I think we win. If he runs away with it like he did from the Moreland Commission, then I don't think, you know, we may win. The IDC may go from 8 to 6, but we'll be the same old Albany in which very little gets done.
Now, you know Jeff Klein personally. What's his motive?
I think it's very simple. Jeff works very hard. When I worked with him, he's substantive. He's got good ideas. When he left the Democratic Party, I understood it because he left when there was corrupt leadership. Now I don't understand it. And the only explanation you can give is ego. He wants to be the head of the party. I'm sure he'd come back to the party tomorrow if you made him the chairman of the state Senate. It's not going to happen, and it's a shame because he's very talented. I mean, I understand the opposition to the IDC. But it's not because Jeff isn't bright and hardworking. It's ego. It's that simple.
Now, if somebody wants to get involved with your efforts to have a constitutional convention, how can they reach you?
Well, you first go to nypeoplesconvention.org, and there's a lot of information there. Information about why we want to have a convention. There are 18 issues, from the need for clean air and fresh water to equal rights amendments, and you sign up. But at the same time, if you want to really be active, start in your community, then think about being a delegate. But you can always call 646-706-7175 and talk to Al Benenhoff, our campaign manager. But I would say the most important thing someone can do is to study the issues, the new issues, and let's agree on the need for clean air and fresh water, so that if the convention passes, we get an amendment, but if it doesn't pass, we get it through Albany.
Now, where will it be held?
Well, if there is a yes vote in November, then the following year there are 3 delegates per state Senate district and 15 at large. And after that election in 2018, the convention will convene in the first quarter of 2019. They'll come up with ideas. They are not the decider. They have to submit their ideas to the voters. And the voters in 2019 will decide, do they want term limits or not, if that's a proposal, for example. Do they want clean air, fresh water, yes or no? So the ultimate decision are your listeners.
Now, if somebody wanted to run, who would make a decision on whether or not that they could be chosen to as a delegate?
It's no different than running. You look at your state Senate district. That's where you're going to run. There will be primaries.
Right.
Within the Democratic Party, anybody can run, but you have to go out and get signatures, okay? You should meet with the county chairman. You should go to your community boards if you're in New York City. And eventually, there's an election like all elections, but instead of one state senator per district, there's three people elected.
Okay. So if anybody wants to run, you know, just heed what Bill Samuels has said, and I think it's important for more democracy in New York State. So, Bill, as we get further towards the election and as we look towards 2018, I'd love to have you back and talk with you again. Would that be something
you'd like?
Well,
Cynthia, you are the perfect example of a citizen activist whose activists are working in their community. And for everyone that's listening, the last Constitutional Convention, only 7% of the people elected were legislators. The communities tended to elect new people who were active in their community who they respected. So don't just assume the people elected are going to be your current electives. 93% last time we did this were not.
Okay. All righty. So we'll have further discussion as we get closer to that. So you've been listening to Bill Samuels, founder of Effective New York. We've been talking about a number of state issues. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to us. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany, share your thoughts. Bill, have a great day, and we'll talk soon. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you.